following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the Rad Rob Radio Network. Through the years, we all remember when we first witnessed a national tragedy.
Alabama wins!
We remember the good times and the bad times through either a song,
Who's Bad?
A TV show, a monumental sports achievement.
For the first time in 86 years, the Red Sox have won baseball's World Championship. Can you believe it?
Or even the smell of a particular food from when we were young.
To all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions, and a sesame seed bun.
Welcome to the show that will take you on a journey through time to relive those iconic moments. Welcome to RTW Rewind, where old school rules. So, without any further delay, let's introduce you to the host of the show, Rad Rob Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. This is episode number 205. I'm your host, Rad Rob Rob Francois, joined by the masked man. I got nothing. Of all the intros I've done, I mean, I've used everything up, Oach. I got...
No, dude, where are you getting 205 shows from? This is like the fifth one. We skip every other week. We take months off at a clip. And like, how we've only started this show freaking 8 days ago, it seems like. And now we're at 205 already?
Yep, just like that.
Well, shit. Where's my royalty check?
Eli!
No.
He's gone. I forgot.
Strike that from the record. It shall be written. It's the unspeakable, so it shall be written.
What's going on, dude? Good to see you.
Nothing. Likewise.
Well, I can't see you. I can just see your mask. So it's good to see your mask again.
You can understand me. You can understand my presence.
Yes, and I appreciate your presence every other week.
about that.
Yeah.
On average.
I mean, I think if we average out all the shows we've done together, I mean, it's just about every week.
No.
Okay. Joining us also is the third member of the team. He's number 12 in your program. He's number one in your hearts. I don't even know what your number is.
He's more like the penis to us balls, really. Like, he is the member, the true member, whereas we're the saggy members,
like,
let's just say.
Gold member?
He likes gold.
Johnny Petraglia Jr.
Him, for Christ's sake.
What's going on, JP?
It's another gorgeous day in New Jersey, boys. Mid-70s, no clouds, no humidity. Life is good right now.
It really is. He brought some seriously awesome, wicked awesome weather here. 3 days in a row where it's been freaking super tits outside.
Yeah, it's a really, really, really awesome time right now. Thoroughly enjoying the transition coming from the West, where it was hot with no humidity. So this to me right now is perfect.
Nice.
Don't get used to it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I won't. I'll be gone before the snow gets here.
Kiss her where it smells. Take it to New Jersey.
Exactly. He's a supporter. You can hear that in his voice.
To Garden State. Sure. If you're growing smokestacks. That's it. That's all you got.
Well, he already did the Price is Right music
for you. Thank you for catching on to that. I will say I'm very, very intrigued by the continuation of last week's topic, along with what we have in store for our viewers tonight.
Yes, we are talking 80s hair bands, which all three of us are big fans of, especially Ocho. I mean, Ocho's been through so many different decades. He's ageless and timeless, but
true,
the 80s are... his favorite decade. So,
well, I meant to clarify also.
Okay.
Did you with hair bands? Did that mean pubes? Because that's kind of what I went by. So I'm not sure if I'm completely on the know with this, but I really am. If it is about pubes, don't ask me how I know. I just know.
I don't think so. I think it's more about the hair on their heads.
Shit. Oh, pubes. Okay, never mind. Got it. I see what you did there.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm flattered.
Thank you.
As we're...
Jamie said thank you last week.
She did.
Thank you.
Yes, she did. Thank you for bringing that up there, Ocho. So, yes, we are talking 80s hair bands, and it's not quite limited to just the big hair. I mean, we're talking, you know, hard rock, rock and roll, heavy metal, whatever you want to call it. Rock bands from the 80s, not that fucking weird Euro pop shit that came over, but we're talking about true American bands.
Well, let's clarify that. So would Tears for Fears not, I mean, because they're 80s-ish, but yeah, we're talking strictly like
is Def Leppard out?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's not true. Yeah,
no, we can talk Def Leppard. I'm just talking like Devo and all the weird fucking shit.
So you're going more like punk kind of stuff, like The Clash or something like that, maybe? Or was there a little more 70s, really?
No, I mean, just literally like Def Leppard, Bon Jovi, Motley Crue, Poison, Scorpions, Keel, fucking
Dio, Keys and Pleasin,
whatever, okay. Dude. Yeah, like all
Britney day. Fox, damn Britney Yankees. Fox,
yeah. Oh, hell, okay, now he's got it. Now,
Great
right,
White.
All right. Yeah, those guys had awesome pubes until Great White burnt a place down.
Right, right.
It did. And Rhode Island has never been the same. As we're recording this, I am going to the Def Leppard, Motley Crue, Poison, Joan Jett concert on June 30th. I've been waiting 2 years to go to this concert because of fucking COVID. We thought we were going to go last year, but certain states, California, New York, still hadn't removed their mask mandate and all that and the vaccine stuff. So because one or a few venues wouldn't change their policies, they decided it's not fair for anybody else, so they just canceled the entire fucking tour last year. So they are back in full swing. They just did Atlanta, I believe. And I checked out the set list. I'm really excited to go see them. I've seen Def Leppard probably about 5 or 6 times. I've seen Motley Crue about 4 times.
That's a lot of bands in one night, Radical Robert, though.
Sure, I mean, is. Like, that's, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's a show worth waiting for.
Because it ain't like they only have a couple hits. And right. Even without deep cuts, that you're still talking a 10-song set list at a minimum from each one. Like,
agreed.
I mean, we saw the last with two of those bands was Def Leppard, Poison, and Cheap Trick. And even just those three bands was a fucking long show. I went to
that one too.
That was at Montage Mountain.
I went to Glens Falls to see, or Saratoga to see that one. Cheap Trick.
I feel like 3 hours would be my limit. Like, because it does give you new blood when you get the new band, but then, you know, it's the 20-minute delay and all that, and you're talking a 4.5 hour. I really don't know. I'm just guessing. But what is it? About a 4 hour show, I reckon.
It starts at 4:30. In the afternoon,
it's like Hair-a-palooza.
No shit, yeah, dude.
Yeah, sure is.
So from what I read about the set list, let's see, 16 songs from Motley Crue. I believe they play for 2 hours. And then we had, I believe it was the same amount of songs for Def Leppard. They actually closed the show that night, and I think they're rotating every other night. Tommy Lee broke
Joan Jett's opening.
Joan Jett played for an hour.
He broke his ribs, right?
Yeah, he only played like 5 songs. And then Ozzy's current drummer took over. So 2 hours from Motley Crue, 2 hours from Def Leppard, an hour from Poison, an hour from Joan Jett, and I believe 25 minutes from like a local act. So, yeah, it's going to be a long day.
Hold on. Poison is the original Poison or Brett?
Brett Michaels, CeCe DeVille, Bobby Dahl, and Ricky Rocket.
I guess, man, I am out of the loop with pubes, because I know Brett Michaels had done his own tour for a long time.
He did. They had troubles, but they've had that issue.
Yeah, but it was all CC, I thought, really.
Originally it was CC, and then I don't know what happened after that, but Brett, did kind of do his own thing. He's done his own thing several times over the years, and they get back for a big fucking money grab, so... I mean, it is what it is.
He's a Steeler fan, too. He's smart.
He kind of went out... He started that solo tour when he was doing Rock of Love, the TV show.
Yeah.
So he wrote some corresponding music to it.
Oh, my God. That's right.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's probably when you 08-ish, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I do know that Brett and CeCe did have problems, but Brett and Ricky went to high school together. I mean, they've been friends. I was under the assumption they wrote everything together.
Yeah, I believe
they learned makeup together, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny, when I first saw Poison with Look at the Cat Dragged In, which was, what, Ocho, 86? 87
ish, I want to say. Yeah. 86, 87. Because I know it opened up in St. was pretty much right after 88 or 89.
I think it was 88, yeah. I thought there were girls when I saw the cover of them with their hair done up and literally like lipstick and rouge and all the makeup they did. I had no idea they were men until I listened to the album. Because I was only like 12 years old or so when it came out.
Did your boner go down when you heard the album then, or did it stay?
No. It didn't.
Hell no. It went further up. It did. It was amazing. Man,
I'm curious what he thought of when he saw Hanson for the first time.
Anyway. There was definitely some bop.
Oh, Jesus.
Bop. My zipper just popped.
Toodle off, flop.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Anyway.
I'm not gay, but you have a nice ass.
Hey. So, yeah, Poison. Johnny, what's your first memories of hearing Poison?
My cousin Jackie was actually, I don't know if they were exclusive, but with Bret Michaels for a long time. My cousin's she's 8 years older than me. Hmm. No, she's 16 years. My Jess is 8 years older than me, so she's 16. So what is that, like 52 now?
Sure.
And I remember... her going out and like she's a beautiful woman, my cousin Jackie, but going to one of his shows and a bus came to pick her up, and it was their bus at our house when I was a younger kid, and they were playing out here at PNC. And then as I got a little bit older and got into the music when I was 16, 17, she got me in touch with Jenna Elston, which was Brett's agent, and Big John from the TV show. And I was hooked up with some backstage passes. No way. Me and my buddy Jim from Bowling, Oach, you know. And we actually got on the bus with all these beautiful women. I was wearing a sky blue Ed Hardy T-shirt with pink streaks on it, and Jimmy was wearing a bright yellow Wichita State T-shirt with like blue and yellow plaid shorts. And everybody else was in leather and black.
You guys rocked now, but still, that's why. You made an impression just by doing that.
So yeah, that was my. So it was a little older than 17. Maybe I was closer to 20. We weren't legal age to drink yet, but we drank all night.
So give me the timeline here, Johnny. Like 95, 96?
No, gosh, this was closer to. This is around 2000, 2001.
Okay.
Might have actually been closer to 2003 because I would have been in college. No, it was around that one, oh, you 1, 2, 3.
You caught him on the downslide. That's
well, yeah, they haven't put out a new album.
Still great.
They haven't put out a new album.
It's around the time of the show Rock of Love.
Yeah, okay.
So what do we say that was?
I thought it was like 06, 08-ish, something like that.
Then it's definitely the time I said it. It was before the show, but Big John was the bouncer on the bus.
That's awesome.
Dude.
Yeah.
Big John, oh my God.
So that was my first encounter with Poison.
SNL did a bit about that, and Fred Armisen plays Big John, even though he's not that big, but he always just goes, he's like, Big John, can you escort this young lady out? And he goes, yes, sir, Bret Michaels, sir. He always says Bret Michaels. Okay, Bret Michaels. So stoic. It's so goddamn funny. Anyways, that's just my little anecdote. Go ahead.
So what's funny is they haven't put out a new album since... 2000, hold on, I just had it. 2000.
So, them or just Poison? I don't know.
So 21 years, we haven't seen a new Poison album. They just, all they've done is release greatest hits and shit like that.
Well, that's just,
I'm okay
albums,
with that.
Really? Yeah,
I'm alright with that.
I mean,
actually, no, I'm wrong. I lied. 2007, but still, that's. That's
and it was
time.
Them, though, or was it Poison with a different singer? Because I don't know, could they say, who owns it? Does anybody know? Like, is it Bret Michaels? Is it?
I'm pretty sure Bret Michaels does. I mean, the only person they ever replaced was CeCe.
But he was solo those years, though. Would he really have done something? Oh, maybe he did it, and then...
See, they've been back, like I said, they've been back and forth for years and years and years now.
Yeah, like a breakup that just can't end.
Pretty much. Like, kicked CeCe out in 93, and they released Native Tongue, which I actually like that album, even though Richie Kotzen was a different guitarist. He's more bluesy and kind of a jazz influence, but...
Never heard one song from it.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't go over very well. It was completely different from their typical image. It was kind of a, I don't want to say it was a downtrodden album, but it didn't lack any of the, I mean, it didn't have this. You hear that right away, and you want to fucking, like,
woo!
It's energizing. Drink some
beers,
man,
and punch somebody in the fucking face, right?
Like, and what's funny is they're just the simplest little bar chords. Because Paul Stanley was very influential with Poison. Brett Michaels had said, I forget which, he co-wrote some songs and everything. And again, Paul Stanley and Kiss are notorious for basic chords.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Just simple E. He wants heavy E chords, A chords, or bar chords, and so many of their songs, they hit so hard with that, and it's so much fun because it it's like imagine your alarm clock with that. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you're up. You're just up.
And you also want a good hook too. Like they were Kiss was very well known for hooks. I mean, you hear the opening first couple notes and bars, and you know
their lyrics sucked on most of the albums. They didn't know what they meant, but the fact is, they had their beat and their hook, and it was soon. It wasn't like later in the song or anything. But it's funny that Poison is trying to with this album that I've never even heard any things from. Are you drinking whipped cream?
Yep.
Is that what that was?
My water bottle.
All right. Oh. Did you see that? It looked like whipped cream, didn't it?
It looked like whipped cream.
I spilled it all over myself, but anyway.
He's really taking that diabetes series.
He's doing whippets.
Yeah. So that Poison had all of two albums that did great, and they felt the need to let's give them a different piece of us. Like you have to kind of have a bit of a legacy before you really.
Oh, I agree.
You know, start to pull out different genres of your.
Well, you know what though, I actually appreciate. Bands that do that. It's why I like Queen. It's why I love Kiss. It's why I love Motley. I like the fact that you can go from a ballad to something that snags you from the first beat to something that's really influential with words like Something to Believe In by Poison or anything along those lines, right?
But Poison wasn't good at the other part yet, though. They only had that one.
Oh, you're saying they were a little premature on it?
Yeah, way, way, way premature. It's like, bastards. You know, there's think about it. Like, establish first. And then I'm trying to it's almost like, you know, a rookie already changing his sponsors or thinking he can change his sponsors in his rookie year.
Because, I agree.
I'm like, dude, you don't have anything yet.
Put in the legwork first to get the credit you deserve and then expand.
They had three successful albums. They had Look at a Cab Dragged In, Open Up and Say Ah, and then Flesh and Blood. And Flesh and Blood was a little bit different than the other two because there was a little bit more blues involved. Which was heavy, you know.
That was the first one without CeCe, right? Or no, that had CeCe.
That was the last one with CeCe before they got rid of him. I think it was like 91.
Why does it say ended at 13 seconds? Was that from before, or did you forget to record again?
Okay, I'm recording on the Roadcaster.
We got to keep our eye on you.
Are you sure? Because it does say ended.
He knows. That's okay.
Thank you for your consideration.
The least I can do. The very least. Oh. Fuck, it's all fucked up. Thanks, Simon. Oh, no. Okay. Anyway, so, no, Flesh and Blood was really, really good on Skinny Bop. Obviously, Johnny, God damn it, Life Goes On and Something to Believe In were big hits off of that, too.
The other one on that one,
I Won't Forget You, Baby.
Yep. Ride the Wind.
Nope.
Never coming back again.
Yeah.
I Won't Forget You was on...
That was on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or it was on... What are we talking about?
Flesh and Blood, the third
one. Oh, shit. Sorry.
No, I Won't Forget You, Baby was on Look the Cat Drag Game.
Yeah.
Every Rose Has Its Thorn was Open Up and Say Ah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Then Something to Believe In was Flesh and Blood. So, like I said, I'm Skinny Bop, Ride the Wind. Lots of good songs off that album. And then they kicked CeCe out in 93. That's when they got Richie Kotzen. They released Native Tongue. And, you know, it kind of bombed. After that, they kind of took a break for a while, and then they just went on like a back to their feel good roots and released two albums I still haven't ever heard of, Holly Weird and Poisoned, I believe, was the next two. But you know, they released three huge albums, and for whatever reason, Poisoned never got the recognition of other bands, and I don't know why. Like they were never headliners to this day. They're still supporting acts for Def Leppard and Motley Crue and bands like that. And I don't know why. I mean,
Skid Row was in the same kind of area too, right?
Agreed.
Did they ever have, I mean, they may have done like locals, but I don't think they ever got to be the big show.
No. No, they didn't. And that's another great band too. Sebastian Bach had a stupid good voice.
That's probably my favorite singer.
Really? Yeah. I mean, Hella Range, their songs were heavy. Like
heavy.
Like Guns N' Roses heavy. Like Skid Row and Guns N' Roses really kind of broke the mold when it came to bands from the 80s.
Message music with like headbanger
with the hit
behind
with the,
it.
With the emotion to it, with the freaking like the violent, not the violent, the energy. I mean, all I keep thinking is like frenetic energy that, you know, you can't sit still when, you know, Big Guns comes on, like, because it just hits so freaking hard, man. So many of their songs just hit. I mean, I always say that about Panama by Van Halen. Now, again, obviously Van Halen doesn't need any, accolades from us because they're freaking one of the greatest bands of all time.
Absolutely.
But just how Panama just blasts your balls off the second it goes.
Yep.
Panama is one of the first songs on my gym playlist.
Nice.
For that exact reason. Like, when I go in, it's usually the first or second song that comes on. Because I like the first beat getting smacked. Like going into bands a little bit further from the 80s, getting more into the 90s and 2000s, I'm a big fan of Disturbed.
Me too.
Yeah. So songs like Guarded and shit like that, and like down, like those songs that get you from the first beat, like Down With The Sickness album, I'm going to like their first album.
Yep.
Like anything
that I thought that opens, was their best one, honestly.
I loved Indestructible, though. Indestructible fucking gets...
That's another one. Too. Like songs like that, Indestructible, Animal, Guarded, songs that just the minute the first beat hits, you're like, I don't have time to think about anything else except what the fuck I'm doing right now. Let's go.
Agreed. Yeah.
See, that's where I would have omitted, because you say Big Hair, but like Pantera for me was another one of those.
Oh, one of my all time favorites as well, dude.
Agreed. So, like, again, you can't not get jacked up. Like, you know, you can.
You know, even their songs.
If you torture somebody from sleeping, just play a loop of freaking Vulgar Display of Power, and like they'll never fall asleep.
Ever. Even their songs that start out slow.
This
there's,
love.
There's so, like an eerie, scary feeling to them, like Cemetery Gates.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes almost a minute, and like you're ready to kill someone, and then you're really ready.
That's
to kill
That's like This Love, and it's so soft, and all of a sudden he goes, "You can just love, free love, child love, boy." Yeah.
Pantera's the shit, man. Oh my god, the Philippines. I miss Dimebag Darrell, dude.
What a disgrace!
I miss Vinnie Paul too. I mean, sucks.
I mean, and Dimebag Darrell had a freaking he had like the Kiss Rock and Roll Over plastered on his guitar.
Yeah,
Rock and Roll Over emblem.
Anything off of Vulgar Display will get your blood pumping, like for sure. Like it just hits differently than everything else. And what's funny is when they first came in, they came in at, like the tail end of the '80s when originally they were. I wouldn't call them a hair band, but they didn't have the same style. They were just a hard rock band.
They were posers.
Philip Anselmo figured out a way to have like a beautiful, steady voice, a really high scream, and also like the deepest, the most guttural, disgusting goth. Like, and he was such a good mix of the three, and the energy on stage. I mean, it's no wonder the guy was pronounced actually dead and came back to life with the amount that he put into a concert. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely right. And like Trendkill just fucking kicked your ass for like an hour straight. Like it was relentless. Like they just took it to another gear with that album. So,
All right. So I'm trying to think of formatting this, because again, us just shooting the shit about bands. I guess it's just us shooting the shit about bands, which it's not that we're not stating anything factual, but like, should we go chronologically? Should we go like first experience? I mean, I don't know. Like you started with Poison. You want to do that or go through the bands in your little genre that you're going to see this weekend? Or how do you want to do that? Radical Robert.
As always, I don't ever prepare for a show.
Clearly, that's obvious. It's the most obvious to the most casual observer, even that doesn't listen.
And I know you're pretty anal about stuff, and you do like structure and formats. So you know, usually I leave it up to
that's
you.
Not
but
true.
You brought nothing to the table this week other than knowledge of pubes. So I don't know what you expect.
We didn't even get to that yet.
All right. Let me play this and see if you recognize it. I'm gonna play like a second of it.
I know it. That's freaking Wild Side.
Okay. Motley Crue.
You guys are good. My first love was Motley Crue. My stepfather was a big fan of them, and he's only 7 years older than me, so that was fun. But
that's fucking weird.
Long story. We don't need to get into that.
Hold on. We just have a new topic for a show of next week.
We do.
Yeah. And it's, why is Rob the same age as a stepdad?
Yeah. Yeah.
I get it when if you're 10 and he's 17, it's a big difference, but like,
yeah,
we'll talk about over 30.
We'll talk about that maybe on Straight Up Five, because we don't ever talk about bowling. So
perfect. Yeah.
We should talk about this on Dr. Phil, if anything. We Holy could. Shit.
Yeah. Woo. It's a long story. In any event.
You can't do this.
Why did your friend marry your
mom? This is not healthy.
So, growing up, he had a lot of pictures. Like, he would get all the magazines, like Circus, and take all, like, the centerfolds out and just, like, pin Motley Crue shit, like, all over his wall. You couldn't see a space on his walls or ceiling. And he had the big vinyl. I don't know if it was vinyl. Fuck. It's like
your mom knows how to pick a winner.
Yeah, like silk. Remember the big silk window banners used to have? Like the black
with
the bands on them? Fucking had that shit everywhere, right? So, yeah. There's a little bit of an age difference between my mom and my stepdad.
So, this is while they were married or like.
So what's funny is they originally
had. I don't think anything's funny about this, really.
You're an asshole.
This is tragic.
They, anyway, they ended up living with his parents at one point and. Of course, you know
he was 15. Of course, they did.
You know, parents never change like kids' rooms. Like they could be gone for 10 years. And like, oh, I left it just the same for you.
We left it the same way.
So yeah, they were sleeping in that room and still had all the Motley Crue shit everywhere.
In the twin bed, still.
Yeah, like, and like the twin water bed or whatever. So, anyways,
God.
So yeah, that's a horrifying thing. Like looking all, like, especially like. Shout the Devil album with like the fucking
the pantogram on there.
Yeah, with like the background that I have here that you guys can't see on the audio podcast, but yeah. So in turn, that made me a big Motley Crue fan because of his love for him. And I remember the first song I ever heard was coincidentally enough Livewire. And you want to talk about just like no other band that I can think of, especially in, like '81 when they came out. Had such a strong and heavy like hook like that, like when you hear Wildside or Livewire, it just it's unmistakable. It
makes you feel alive.
It does. It makes you. I'm alive. It does make you feel alive.
I get it.
And I thought they
absolutely.
Did it.
And that song actually, that song held it like almost through the entire song too. Yes. It wasn't really.
It had a little bit of breakdown, like.
Come on, baby.
Yeah, exactly.
But then, it's like the only part.
That's it. It's like,
and it's like 10 seconds.
Right.
And that's then right back down. Yeah.
Oh, but that's what put them on the map, too. They that's were exactly, like, all yes. right, these motherfuckers have something here.
And they're known for hooks like that, like Child the Devil, Looks That Kill, like Wild Side.
They're,
like,
they're almost, they're more than, they're almost like chants. Like I know mm-hmm. when they say the hook is like something you grab, but the every yeah. you know
girls shout, girls is shout. A chant.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Every and everyone like
yeah.
Well, so many of their songs and they're smoking in the boys' room, like they say it 25 times or
they do
same old situation. They yep. say it so and but man, they still know how and it's so it's again they've simplified it to mm-hmm. the point where they own it yeah. and it's so damn good. And you're like, why the fuck couldn't I think of that?
I mean, Home Sweet Home was like the number one video on MTV when they had the top 20 countdown for, I want to say, almost a year. And they had to finally take it off the countdown. People weren't allowed to vote on it anymore because nothing else was going to beat it. Like, that was the song for a long, long time.
It's one of my favorite karaoke songs.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Yeah, it's a beauty. It's a beautiful fucking song. It's a perfect song, man. I only, you know, the song of theirs I really like, Red Hot.
Yes. Red Hot's a good fucking song.
Awesome.
I was a keep your eye on the money, maybe because I like to gamble, but like I thought that song had such a cool beat to it, and it never even got any recognition. I mean, people don't even know the damn song.
No, I don't.
True. That's true.
But keep your eye on the money. Keep your eye on the lady's hand.
I don't know that song.
I like their version of Helter Skelter. I thought they fucking knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, it's a goodie.
And their whole, what was it with bands in the 80s that had to have, like, a mascot? Like, Alistair Fiend was theirs. Iron Maiden had Eddie.
Iron Maiden and, with Eddie. And,
yeah.
Who started that? Was that Iron Maiden? Or
I want to say yes, I think. But it's just weird. Like, Megadeth had their own thing, too. It's just, I don't know, it's just a thing that a lot of bands had mascots during that time. But, look, Motley Crue went through their whole drug phase. If anybody ever watched The Dirt on Netflix, it's fucking stupid. The amount of drugs and pussy they went through, how they didn't die of a venereal disease or an overdose. Well, I mean, Nicky almost died of an overdose, but it's
almost. I thought he did.
Times, well, he did
actually. Yeah,
he was also legally pronounced dead.
Yes, but it's stupid that they're still around and they're still.
But also,
money.
I mean, geniuses at their craft.
Obviously Nikki, since he's the soul.
Nikki's persistence, my God. Writer. I mean, yeah. But yeah, collectively, between the condition that Mick Mars has
mm-hmm.
can't even move.
Spondylitis, where it literally, like, your body fuses together. You become the Tin Man, like, and he can still, like...
And that was, like, 15 years ago when they were talking about it, did some documentary on it, and he's still fucking playing. So
he looks like a walking skeleton.
He does. He looks horrible. But he still gets ass.
Still shows up, puts his little top hat on. He almost looks like at the end of Spaceballs, the alien going, hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime girl. But then they got, oh, shit. There was a guy from Kiss named Mark St. John who had to... who had to, like, quit the band due to writer's syndrome, which is just an arthritic condition of your apparel. Apparently, I was correct in my assessment of Mick Mars.
I can't stop thinking about that little thing in Spaceballs now.
Google the end of Spaceballs.
Yeah. Hello, Mick my Mars baby. Now. Hello, my honey.
But even your...
Hello, Ragged Row.
Your impression was spot on. But anyway... Mick Mars, Kiss, St. John, something.
It doesn't matter. Mark St. John had writer syndrome. He had to quit the band because of this arthritic condition in his hand. Yet, it's not just his hand. That's where it was affected because he's a guitar player. But here's Mick Mars, whose body is legit fusing together. Like it's calcifying.
Yeah.
Like his every joint is legit calcifying. His range of motion is like nothing. He's legit the Tin Man without the WD-40. How the hell is he even able to play the damn guitar?
Well, that's one thing I want to ask you, Ouch, as a doctor-ish. How do people play like that when they get into their 60s? I mean, I believe they're in their 60s, right?
It's got to be the most basic chord, the most basic mm-hmm. thing where he can end possibly that his volume is down a little bit where they can't hear if he screws up. Look, when you're at a concert... You don't hear anything but just loud noises.
True.
You're not going to go, man, his voice sounded like shit. Because you barely hear the voice.
I will say that, but Def Leppard is probably the best, like, tightest live band that I've seen consistently over the years. I mean, they play perfectly. You know what I mean? Like, they're so...
I just find, like, anytime I'm at a concert, I'm screaming so loud that I don't hear me. I don't hear the band because I'm screaming the songs and I'm jumping around like a freaking idiot.
Maybe that's you, man.
I'm not. It's not like I'm gonna be like, oh, Gene Simmons sounded lousy. Oh, really? How come? I don't know because I couldn't hear him.
I will say this.
I was yelling.
I will say this. I saw the Van Halen reunion tour with David Lee Roth. I want to say it was like 2011 or 12, somewhere around there. And number one, he was so fucking horrible because he couldn't even sing anymore. They put out this fucking parkade floor that he could just fucking dance on in his fucking socks. That's pretty much all he did was just kick.
He used the breaking board from Alfonso Ribeiro.
And Eddie the guitar was so loud and he was so off. He was probably fucked up beyond recognition. It was the worst show I've ever seen. And I love Van Halen. I've seen him 3 times. Lucky enough to see him with all 3 singers, by the way.
Oh, you were there for that, or that you saw on the...
No, I was there live in Nashville for that.
Oh, no kidding, no kidding.
And it was just bad.
That's sick.
It was so bad. I was so upset because I had never seen David.
Imagine being disappointed. You go to see Van Halen, and you're like, and you hear
Gary Cherone was better.
No, it sucked.
Yeah, Gary Cherone at the Meadows in Hartford was better than that.
I was a big Extreme fan, by the way. Dude, I was too. I don't know if we could even take that because they. I think the first one was like 89, and the second one was 91, if I'm not mistaken.
Possibly.
I saw them at a little club in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and I saw them with Sammy at the Meadows as well. I mean, Sammy was fucking fantastic. I mean, even though I was blitzed out of my mind, Sammy never put on a bad show that I could remember. But yeah, David was just—he was a shell of himself, right? And he was never like a great concert. Like you can go back and look at concerts from the 80s. On YouTube.
But he was more of a showman, really.
He was, right. He was never a great singer in concert. Neither Vince Neil, for Christ's sakes. Vince Neil doesn't even sing half the fucking words. And I don't know how much worse he's gotten over the years, but he was never... Again, he's the front man. He's a showman. He's the blonde-haired, good-looking guy that everybody wants to fuck. Wasn't a great singer in concert. That's for whatever reason.
Talk about that on the dirt. I feel like, because I only just saw it recently, and I thought freaking Machine Gun Kelly was so damn good, and I didn't realize it was even him.
So did I. He was great as Tommy Lee.
He was so freaking good. And I thought they were like, well, his singing is, and like, I think it was Mick Mars. He's like, it's not the singing, it's the showmanship, it's the charisma.
Pretty much.
And he said, like, this is the leader we need for this. And,
yep. But in the studio, he was great. Like, don't get me wrong, Vince Neil.
Oh, of course, you have to be able to do something. You're gonna.
Right.
The only thing I ever heard was Danzig had the worst voice ever. I don't know how that guy ever.
Mother. Hey, I see the weather, what my way.
But we always remember that song, though, right?
See the light.
And that's the only song I know.
And if you want to find me with me, I can show you what it's like.
To me, that sounds like every band from, like, the mid-90s, like Puddle of Mud and fucking all those bands like that. Like, they all had the same fucking...
The guy's voice was legit awful. I remember he was short, but he was kind of jacked, too. Like, wasn't he? Didn't he have, like, wasn't he a little, like, a muscle head or something like that?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he was. He was jacked. Glenn Danzig was jacked, for sure.
Oh, shit, that's his name? No wonder why he's the front man. So they should have kicked him out of the band and called it fucking Billy Bob Band or something instead of Danzig.
Let me see if you guys recognize this.
That's Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi.
I just played half a second. You guys, I mean, that's how recognizable this shit is, right? I mean, obviously.
That's what I need. Whoa.
You know what's funny? Yeah.
That's why I put my name Rad.
Especially from listening to albums, is like I can hear the ending of the last song, Lay Your Hands on Me,
feeding into the next song on the playlist. Feeding into
Bad Medicine, because Absolutely. That's how it goes. Like you play the shit out of these albums and you know
I can hear. I can hear Running with the Devil starting as Eruption is ending. Oh, the start God. Of the Black Label.
Absolutely.
Album.
Yeah.
For sure. So I get that totally. We're fucked up.
My daughter just came in. Look, New Jersey was a fantastic album. That was the first Bon Jovi album that I ever actually owned as a kid. And
he was already. I mean, even the
Fahrenheit, they were established by then.
Fahrenheit, something or other thing. He had a couple, but then Slippery When Wet just fucking.
Slippery When Wet took off.
Stratosphere.
Yeah.
That was what I was introduced to with him.
It was almost like New Jersey. You'd almost thought it could have been a letdown album because like. The Slippery When Wet just had everything. There were so many hits.
Agreed.
And then New Jersey, was even better, I thought.
It was I think it was their biggest commercial success, to be quite honestly, with
No Shit.
Lay Your Hands on Me and Bad Medicine, Born to Be My Baby. I mean, they had top hits with that album.
And then
album.
They had I'll Be There for You was on that one.
God. That's my wife's all-time favorite song.
Which one was Better Roses on?
The next one, the following one. That's another great battle. Like, you want to talk about
awesome ballad.
About like the best ballads ever. And,
absolutely.
And always. But what's funny is all the songs revolve around John, or I'm assuming if he writes it about himself, is, you know, cheating on everybody. All three of those fucking songs have to do with infidelity. And the women don't care. They're like,
That's the world I someday want to live in.
Right? You know what I mean? So, and look.
I can't wait to be with Bon Jovi and have him cheat on me and write a ballad. It's like dating Taylor Swift or something like
right.
that. Like,
right.
You know, she's going to write about me being a douchebag. All right.
But you want to talk about a great concert band as Bon Jovi. And I've seen them several times, even in their later years, like in the last 10, 15 years. And when Richie was still in the band, which I'm still upset that he's not. And
what was that even about?
I don't know. Well, Richie wanted to, I mean, he did solo projects over the year, but he really just wasn't interested in Bon Jovi anymore, and he really wanted to focus on, you know, his own music and
yeah, but how'd that go
doing
for
TV like, and movies like and stuff like that. Like, he wanted to be an actor.
He might be doing shit behind the scenes that I don't even know about, but right. like, I haven't heard shit from him in 10 years.
Exactly. It didn't work out. And, you know, other people brought up, like, sobriety issues, like maybe he was having another substance, you know, abuse problem, but...
But the problem is, though, most of these guys, if they don't get drunk or do drugs, they're not going to write good songs anyway. So it's almost like give them 6 months to freaking get all fucked up,
right.
then give them the 6 months to play the shit
yep.
so they're coherent. Right. And then so, okay, take a year off, do what you want, recharge by doing drugs and getting drunk, and then we'll give you the 6 months to work and get drunk and do drugs to play some new shit. The freaking Beatles basically said... If we didn't do a shitload of drugs, we wouldn't have come up with half our shit.
Especially the White Album. Holy shit.
Steve Jobs fucking said that about the iPhone. He was tripping balls and fucking saw the iPhone in his head.
You're right. I mean, and we talked about this a little bit on Straight Up 5 last week. That
tapping into that area of the brain.
Exactly. Yeah, the creative geniuses that just need something else to... You know, to get them in the gear and
what's the key that unlocks that door? I mean, we use 10%, but because we're patterned to follow protocol and society, but like they're not 9-to-5 jobs. And then again, think about the pressure of like, okay, you need to have a song by next Tuesday.
Yeah, the studio is asking for an album. It's been 2 years, whatever. Like, we need something now. And it's like, oh, all right, let's fucking back up the truck of Columbia and Coke and just go after
basically,
it, right?
Yeah, all right, let me see. What can I get my hands on? And then... And then, sure enough, you come up. How'd you come up with this? And you're like, come up with what? It's the best song ever.
But I mean, it takes your nerves away. It takes your mind away. Where you can just focus on just one thing, right? Because I mean, geniuses have a hard time. You know, they're either socially awkward or they have some kind of deficiency that they lack because they're so strong in other areas. So if they do a shit ton of drugs, they're able to just quiet their brain down and focus on one thing and get it done.
That's what it is. It's like going to the grocery store isn't on their fucking agenda or in their repertoire. Like, they're not like, okay, I got to make a list of eggs and milk. And they're like, no, I need a shit ton of Coke because I'm going to stay up for the next week. And I'm going to write the best songs that are going to change people's lives potentially, which fucking music can do, man.
100%.
That's exactly right. Here's another one for you. And this is too easy, but maybe I'll be a little bit quicker on it.
I need the second part.
Rocky like a hurricane.
Scorpions.
I knew if I played too much, he would obviously get it.
Well, because here's the thing.
I threw Ocho off by humming the wrong beat, which is what I was trying to do.
I was trying to, and I thought it was going to be something of like a photograph. But it's a little different because again, bar chord versus a hammer chord.
You know, I was never, admittedly, never a big Scorpions fan until later in life. I didn't quite care for them. Where were you on that, Ouch?
Honestly, I think whatever was on the radio, because I really can't. It's funny you say that. The only thing I could think of is Rock You Like a Hurricane.
Or Winds of Change, possibly.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, great. In the wind of tomorrow. Is that song?
Yes.
Yeah.
In the wind of change. Fade away. Yeah. In the wind of change.
Fade away.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I'm like, Scorpions rule. I know songs.
What about you, Johnny?
I like the Scorpions. Not as much as the other bands. I'm thinking of that other song. Take me to the magic of the moment. Oh, that's still Wind of Change. That's still Wind of Change. All right, so I still only have it.
Right.
I know. There's definitely a third one.
There's another song. Here I am. Rock you like a hurricane.
We did that already.
Oh, did we? Damn it.
Damn it. No, there's another one I know.
He hit that bomb like 20 minutes ago, and now this is what's happening. Mm-hmm.
My cousin Jackie has a vintage 1984 Love at First Sting Scorpion shirt.
Oh, cool.
And I still have it. So I've always appreciated the Scorpions because of that.
Oh, you asshole. Let me look up Scorpions hits. Hang on.
I know there was like one in the 90s that was on like Headbangers Ball I used to watch sometimes.
Probably Winds of Change.
It's 1990. No, it was Tease Me, Please Me or something like
that. No, that wasn't them. That wasn't them.
Who was that?
It wasn't them. I promise. Let's look at their.
Please me, please me. I need to go.
Let's look at their.
Oh no.
What could be their top 20 songs according to YouTube? Wind of Change.
That is the Scorpions. Tease Me, Please Me.
It is the Scorpions. Are you sure? Dickhead. Why would you ever? I'm looking it up right now. You stupid ass fuck.
Maybe I never heard that song then. I don't know.
Well, why are you such an asshole?
Well, it's not pictured under. It's not under greatest hits. According to YouTube.
You got a fucking attitude.
Sorry, Ouch.
Get your stepdad on here. Let's get some fucking real 80s shit going. Oh, he's my age, for fuck's sakes.
He is. He's he's a little older than you. He's
he's 3 years older than me.
53. Anyway, top 10 Scorpion songs. Let's look at this.
He's younger than my brother.
Coast to Coast, which I've never heard. That was in 1979. God damn, I didn't know they were that old. 1974, Fly to the Rainbow. I had no idea they came out that long ago. Holy shit.
I would bet if you played something, you'd know the beat or know the lyric to one of the choruses or something like that.
Yeah.
Well, holy shit, I didn't know that was them.
No One Like You, I've heard that before. Okay.
That's the other one I was thinking of.
No One Like You.
Yep.
I can't wait for the night with you. Yeah, that was the one.
Still Loving You was a ballad from 84. Love it.
That's another great song.
Loves my singing, by the way.
Yeah, no, I
bet. Hi, Quarantine Lady.
But I didn't know they came out in like 74. That's actually something I never knew. That's very interesting.
Shit, that's an awesome. When was There's No One Like You? What year was that?
I'm gonna go with 86.
79, I believe it was. Actually, 81. Oh,
good job, saying, John. Like, good job, John. Like, close. Yeah. Close.
I figured that was one earlier because that's a fucking badass song for that. I mean, even studio wise, like, because even in 79, besides fucking one Eddie like Van Halen, you. They weren't really cranking out.
Like, what's the other one?
Dun, 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 1982.
Dun, dun, that's another one. If you say the name of the song,
I only know what you're. I'm like, oh, it sounds familiar, but I don't know how to finish it. It's like an Al Bundy when he goes, it goes, him. I know the song, right. And it's not called "Go with Him." Him.
Scorpion's top 10 song.
That's still loving you.
Still loving. Okay, there you go. That was 1984. Good job, guys. It's look, the memories are there. You just got to kind of jog it a little bit. This one's going to be another easy one, but here we go. Now, that was hard. That was just a drum beat. So, I mean, good job, guys.
I had that cassette because then it was on.
The whole album was great.
Wasn't Dance, Dance, Dance on that one? Dance, dance, dance.
They didn't sing that song.
The rhythm, from the heat of my... Oh, yeah, right. Okay, let's just like the Scorpions didn't sing Tease Me, Please.
Let's see. Rat discography. Let's see.
Next week, Rad Rob's stepdad will be stepping in for Rad Rob since he knows the 80s better than Rob does.
He's such a
dick. Rad Rob Radio Network.
Rad Rob's stepdad Radio Network.
Out of the... Out of the Cellar was their first album. That was
Out of the Cellar. That's the one.
They had Round and Round. Wanted Man, Round and Round. You're in Trouble. She Wants Money. In Your Direction. Lack of Communication. I'm Insane. Scene of the Crime. The Morning After. Yeah, not on that album. Let's see. Let's look at the next one, which was Invasion of Your Privacy. Another great album, actually.
That's Fall Out Boy. What are you talking about?
You're in Love. Lay It Down. Closer to My Heart.
Those are all goodies.
You Give What You Get. You Should Know By Now. Yep, still don't see that one. Ouch. Let's see.
It's just called Dance. It's on, what the hell's it called? What album is it on?
Yo? I don't know. I'm looking up, buddy.
Oh, Dancing Undercover. Like everybody
Dancing Undercover was their third album. Yes. Dance, Drive Me Crazy, Body Talk, One Good Lover, Slip of the Nip. I mean, Lip.
Nip Slip.
They were pretty
slip of the lip.
They're pretty proficient. Reach for the Sky was another great album. They were pretty prolific in their songwriting right up until about 99, and then they just kind of fell off the map, and they're just doing like, you know, the Wolf Den and Mohegan Sun or whatever. Look, when you hear Round and Round, you know exactly what it is. Like, so
thank you. Not even this, huh? Go with him.
Never heard of it.
You guys remember the song Way Cool Junior? That was a big
MTV. Oh my god!
MTV hit.
Absolutely. Way Cool Junior. Yeah.
Another band like that for me was Cinderella, which I thought were fantastic, but
so
never really got big success.
Cinderella, dude.
And they were like the opener for Bon Jovi for a while too, and he was in their video and everything.
Yep.
And, Nobody's Fool was, but they.
Gypsy Road.
Gypsy Road, dude.
So That was their second. What was the? I know the one that's got Nobody's Fool. It's got the other one and the other one. Just give me the fucking name of them.
I used to know all this, which is sad, but I can't.
I'm not your fool. Nobody's fool. Nobody's. Or then there's
Night Songs.
Now when I was a young boy, and I'm only getting older.
Night Songs was their first album in 1986. That included, obviously, Night Songs.
Somebody Save Me is what you were just saying.
Yep, Somebody Save Me. Shake Me, Nobody's Fool. Those are pretty great.
Shake Me.
Oh, now you said
Shake Me. Yeah. Yeah. That's a band I thoroughly enjoy.
I'm telling you, man, so, they were really good in concert too.
Britney Fox was like such a ripoff of Cinderella, I thought.
Yes, for shiz was, for
girl,
shiz.
Girl School was the only song
I remember. At the girl school! Baby broke all the room. That's so hard to do. My balls, I'd have to sit on them in order to do that.
But getting back to Cinderella, great band. Kind of bluesy when Long Cold Winter came out, which had Gypsy Road, Bad Seamstress Blues, Don't Know What You Got Till It's Gone, The Last Mile, Coming Home, Fire and Ice, Take Me Back. I mean, just great, great songs, well, I mean, on that album.
Let's think about this. Some of these bands that came in mid to late 80s, did they pose to sneak in and then try to, like Poison?
Probably. Doing
that, yeah, I mean, right. And good on them, but like, why not keep posing? That's the damnest thing.
No, I agree.
It's so, or was that all they had in the tank? And they were like, you know, we.
Well, they got rich and they got fucked up and they lost all their money, right?
So, but I mean, also, but think about this: it's like going to a job you hate, but it's your starter job, and it's like, I can do it. I'll power through it for 3 years.
Yeah.
Were these their starter jobs? And then they were like, okay, now we have enough. We have a reservation. Let's do our thing, and we're going to make it better and make it ours and own it. And then it's like, well, that was fucking dumb. We should have just kept powering through. But if they, maybe they hated it. Maybe they hated teasing their fucking hair up so high and whatnot. I don't know,
Didn't Skid Row kind of do that when they just went slay to the grind, right? Just
yes, right, for sure. Then they
went off.
Was that the one with Monkey Business?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Quicksand Jesus.
Yeah. Which is a great album, but I mean, completely different from the first album.
And was that the last one they did as the band collectively?
They did one more, and I'll just bring it up to here while you guys are flexing.
Yeah, they had the Skid Row album. They had Slave to the Grind. They had one in between.
They did.
What we should do,
and this is, it's not an homage or anything. It's like, there's truly one band that had their first album just rip through like nothing we've ever seen. And we got to say it's Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction.
1,000%.
As much as Eddie Van Halen's first album, like, freaking changed the game, like, again, guitar-wise and best, one of the best studio albums ever, like, GNR just fucking came in with this attitude. They took Big Hair 80s and was like, I'm going to add, like, not any, I'm taking any little bit of pop that was in it, and I'm going to add some fucking evil violence to it, and holy shit, there, you just cannot find a bad song on that entire album.
Agreed. And just to wrap up Skid Row, Subhuman Race was their,
that was number two album, right? That was second album.
That was the third album.
Third
in 93, and that's pretty much when they ended ties with Sebastian Bach after that. And I guess,
and the reason I
stole the name from him or whatever else.
Skid Row's first album, I thought, comparable.
Yes, I agree.
I fucking love the album, but it still doesn't. It doesn't have the stuff, like you said. Like GNR opened, the Metallica opened for GNR in 3 years. Like, right. Think about that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And again, I think Metallica was the better show because GNR was going through their shit in '92 and everything. But like,
fucking love, dude, Metallica.
That, what a fucking, like, one album to determine an entire band, Appetite for Destruction, does
yep.
it.
Yep.
And I'm a Kiss fan, dude. You know me.
No, like, I know. I like my shit. I know, but I mean, listen, I mean, think about the songs on Appetite, like, that you'll still remember to this day. Sweet Child of Mine.
I mean, it starts Welcome to the Jungle, then Welcome It's to the So Jungle, Easy.
Paradise City.
I'm trying to think of the ending of the song to the beginning of the next one, and Mr. Brownstone, and like
is Don't Cry on there?
I don't know. My Michelle's on there.
Nope. Knocking on Heaven's Door.
Nope.
No, that's the next.
That's later.
That's the next one. Is that Use Your Illusion or is that on GNR Lies?
It might be Use Your Illusion. You're Crazy was one of my favorite. You're fucking crazy.
I hated the.
What version. About My Michelle?
That's on Appetite for Destruction. Yep. Well. Night Train. Oh my God.
Night Train.
My God.
Yeah.
Loaded like a freight train. And if you listen to the lyrics, dude, they're legit like about them doing a shit ton of drugs and being and coming close to death. Almost every one of their songs.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. In 1989, Rolling Stone ranked Appetite the 27th best album of the 80s. Like the entire decade.
Wow.
That's a big deal. That's pretty influential.
Yeah. I'm curious what would be number one, like Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA or something like that?
Probably.
Or like some Madonna or Michael Jackson.
Yeah, because there's a lot. If you're talking hair 80s, I'd say that's fucking number one, hands down.
GNR Lies was the second album that was Reckless Life. Patience. Used to Love Her, You're Crazy, One in a Million. Oh, they did acoustic shit off of that. That was their live album, right? If I'm not mistaken.
No.
Was it? Hold on.
No, because they did Patience. They did.
No, you're right.
I'm sorry. I know on Use Your Illusion, they did three things or something, maybe. Is that, or am I making that part up? I might be making that up.
Mama Kin, they covered from Aerosmith.
Well, that's the old I Used to Love Her was also another one, wasn't it?
Yes, Used to Love Her, You're Crazy, One in a Million, Patience.
I hated the You're Crazy version on that one. You know you're crazy, oh child, you're fucking crazy, oh my.
Use Your Illusion 1 and 2 obviously came out, were huge successes. November Rain probably being the biggest song off that. Live and Let Die was a fantastic cover as well.
I thought the freaking Terminator song was the, You Could Be Mine, whatever the fuck it is. I don't even know the name of it. I thought the ending, when he's just fucking ranting the lyrics in a row, and it's so fucking powerful, man.
Was that the second one? Let me take a look at that. They're
I don't know. I just know it was in the Terminator movie.
Let's see. Civil War, 14 years. T2. Yeah. Knocking on Heaven's Door, Get in the Ring, Shotgun Blues.
TD2.
What was the name of the song, Ouch?
Which part? Which one? The
Terminator
you
one?
You could be mine.
That's exactly the name of the song. You could be mine. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, that's off Use Your Illusions 2.
Sarah Connor.
Yes.
Come with me if you want to live. What is your daddy? Who is your daddy and what does he do?
And we'll talk. I don't really want to talk about the Spaghetti Incident because it's probably the worst album of all time. But
what?
Yeah. I don't even look. Know it's a ferret.
Let me know when you're done.
GNR Appetite for Destruction.
But yeah, the Spaghetti Incident was their, well, technically fifth studio album in 96. 93. And Izzy was gone. Gilby Clark was there. I believe Matt Sorum, or Duff McKagan was gone. Matt Sorum filled in as drummer. So it was, it wasn't great. And that was their last studio album until Chinese Democracy in 2008. Right. So, and since 2008, they've still been kind of touring on and off. I believe they're even back now on tour again as of last year into this year.
Yeah, they were playing in Vegas just before I left.
And Axl sounds fucking fantastic. He still sounds great. He even stepped in for an AC/DC when Brian went down. So you want to talk about a guy that's in his 50s and still has fucking vocal range? I mean, Axl Rose is just a fantastic singer. He might be an asshole, but he's a fantastic singer.
Yeah, you got that right. That's for damn sure. Just wish he didn't miss so many concerts.
Agreed.
You know, for nonsense. There's no doubt in his talent.
He left in the middle of concerts because people are being assholes in the crowd or whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, he was a fucked up dude for a while. But they made a fuck ton of money, so, you know, they're obviously a success. Absolutely. Ocho, welcome back, Ocho. This is going to be another easy one. All right, that's all I'm playing.
Nope.
Close though.
No, you're thinking of too late.
Too late for love.
Yeah.
Jump.
No.
The Final Countdown.
Very good, Johnny.
I couldn't hear it because I hear the TV in the background, so I get a freaking pass for that one. Fuck yous. It's my excuse. Are you using Shazam?
And who cares if they never release another fucking song ever again? Like, this was the shit. To this day, it's still used in movies and sporting events and all that. Like, it's the fucking Final Countdown, dude. Like, they could play that song.
Their other song was what? Carrie, I think, was the only other song they had.
Great song.
That's the only other one that I knew about from Europe. But, dude, the Final Countdown, dumb as fuck, right? Like, the lyrics are stupid as shit. We're having
I don't even think I know him. I don't even think I only know.
It's do we stand tall?
It's like, yeah, if a Muppet sang it, I'd still be into it.
Another guy had a similar voice was David Coverdale from Whitesnake. That's to me an underrated band. I don't think they got the big commercial. I think the guy
from Foreigner sounded a little more like that than
Now,
David Coverdale, wasn't he the lead singer of Deep Purple way back in the day or something?
I'm not that fucking old, dude. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
Because the Whitesnake's first song, Slide It In, or first album, I think. And it did awful. So bad. And then when they hit their what's it called when they name the album by the same name as their band, the title album or something like that, they call it.
Yep.
Dude, they fucking killed it, man. Holy shit.
Still Tonight is still one of my favorite songs of all time.
Again, hits so damn hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's still in the middle of the night. I hear the wolf howl running, singing around your door. I'll be never telling me you gotta have my love. What a great show we're doing.
Yeah. Because fuck, we're having fun.
Me and Vince have like a format.
White Lion. Anybody remember them?
Yes, yeah, very much so.
For sure.
Now, not just that one with
That song's great. Dude, that song is so great.
Of course. Yeah, that's
I never got a chance to do you.
When the children cry was their big ballad.
So that's the song I hate.
That's the song you hate, really?
Yes, because that was on their next album, right? It wasn't on the one I don't remember. Pride, I think it
Pride,
was called.
Yeah, Pride was. They were both on that album. Those were two big. Oh, hits
were they?
On that album.
What? Read the song list then, because I like that. Little sure. Fighter, and I thought that was on a different album.
Rise Again, Little. That was the album after. Little
yeah.
Fighter. I like Tiny Dancer. Read the
set list. Money. Oh, Private Dancer.
let's see. White Lion. Mike Tramp. That's just a great name for a lead singer, by the way. 1985 was Fight to Survive, which I never fucking heard of.
Their Vito Bratta, I think, was their guitarist. Man, yes. He could fucking shred.
Vito
dude.
Bratta. That is correct. Pride came out in 87. So they're right kind of in the middle of
what? So what's that song list then? I know that Wait was the Hungry, first or the sixth one.
Hungry was the first track. Then Lonely Nights, Don't Give Up, Sweet Little Loving, Lady of the Valley, Wait, All You Need Is Rock and Roll, Tell Me, I'll Join Our Hands, and When the Children Cry was the final track.
I know three songs on that. That's it. I had no clue. I didn't even know that much.
Big Game was their next one in 89. That's where Little Fighter came off of. I'm trying to see what else is there. Radar Love was a cover that they did. Was all right. Cry for Freedom. I don't see anything else they recognize on that.
Shit.
Main Attraction was in 91. Love Don't Come Easy was off of that, which I think I kind of remember that one.
And again, I'm going White Lion, yeah!
Right.
This is like
because they had like three or four.
The first song you said was Fight to Survive, right?
Yes.
This is the RTW Rewind 80s 90s Spectacular, right?
Yes.
Oh, this is what I thought was the White Lion song.
Is that from the volleyball movie?
I'm sitting here the whole time thinking White Lion wrote that song, and I'm like, oh my god, Bloodsport. And now I'm thinking of Ray Jackson in the ring screaming, yo ho!
Oh, that's fucking fantastic.
Like, who knew White Lion was that crossover mainstream?
Like, hey, we're in, like, the right time period.
So one of my favorite bands ever, to this day still, and I've seen them live, and they can still kick ass, but were never really over in the States. They had a few hits, but were mainly over in, like, overseas in Japan, like, huge in fucking Japan, was Firehouse. Firehouse was at the end of the 80s. What's that?
That sounds familiar. What
do they sing? Never Let You Go.
Love of a Lifetime. No,
Love of a Lifetime. I'm sorry. Never Let You Go is another band that I like.
You're thinking of Rick
Steelheart. Astley, I was thinking probably. Of Steelheart. No, Steelheart.
Steelheart is fantastic
never give
too.
You up. Never gonna let you
I thought Steelheart
down.
Was great.
Never gonna run around.
I forgot about Steelheart.
You.
But no, Firehouse had All She Wrote, Shake and Tumble, Don't Treat Me Bad, Love of a Lifetime. Overnight Sensation. Fucking their first album just came out. It was literally fire. It was 1990. But then they just fucking went downhill from there. And I just,
did they open for Ozzy at some point? Or
possibly. I believe they did. Yeah. Yeah, I believe you're right.
Hey, man, don't treat me. With maybe like Slaughter or some. I relate those dude. Together.
Remember Striper?
Striper?
Yes.
Striper's still around, by the way.
The Christian rock, man.
Yes, Christian
to
rock.
Hell with the devil.
Yep. Slaughter was fucking
like they're fantastic. Like the Jonas Brothers before the Jonas Brothers ever came out, man. Because they were rock and roll, dude.
Pretty much.
Like, I don't care if you're a groupie. Maybe they probably got so much ass and repented every next day.
1989, Stick It To You from Slaughter came out. Eye to Eye, Burning Bridges, Up All Night.
Up All Night is the one.
Fly to the Angels.
Sleep All Day.
That was their ballad, too. So you got to fly
to the angels.
Heaven awaits your heart and flowers bloom your name.
I can't do it unless you get in the same octave.
I can't scream. The neighbors are right next door. I can't scream. To
the angels.
What's this fucking lunatic doing? Plus, there's a public walkway on the stream or on the creek. Like this guy's literally singing out loud to himself in his backyard.
How about Winger?
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah. There you go.
Winger was...
First of all, how creepy is that song 17?
No shit, right? And it's funny he mentioned that. He's like, you know, when I go and play like clubs and shit now, and I'm in my 50s, and I'm singing She's Only 17, I didn't think about the longevity of the song when I first wrote it.
I saw sparks fly from the corner of my eye when I turned. It was... Love, I mean, Kiss did a song called Christine 16. Family Guy just had a show like 2 years ago where they find this old 50s jukebox, and Joe's like, yeah, but the problem is it's a bunch of, you know, artists in their 50s talking about trying to have sex with girls in their teens, and then they start hitting buttons, and it's like the music that come with, he goes, 13 candles is probably enough. They're making their own songs.
I mean, think about 17. Like, she's only 17. Daddy says she's too young, but she's old enough for me.
Yeah, I mean, and like, he was probably 22 at the time.
Right, but so we love that shit, right? It's like, I mean, it's a great fucking song. I mean, what are you going to... What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You're going to not rape a 17-year-old is what you got to do.
Pretty much.
Just change it to 21.
She's only
21. Daddy said she's got to be home by midnight tonight. I don't know. She's illegal to drink.
Nah. Trickster was another one around that time that kind of had a couple hits. I think they were from New Jersey, if I'm not mistaken.
Who was the chick band?
I've been living on the edge of a broken heart. I don't want to fall. I don't want to go. Vixen? Was the Vixen?
I've been living on the edge of a broken heart. Don't you wonder why?
Was that Vixen?
I gotta say goodbye.
That may have been Vixen, I think. Maybe.
Vixen, yes. That's who it was.
Better go.
Yep, you're right. That's exactly what it was. Edge of a Broken Heart was Vixen, 1988.
Hey, what about Heart, though? Like, that was a true fucking, dude. Like, a true band, like 70s, 80s, into the 90s, dude. Until Ann ate Nancy.
Dude,
whoa.
She could sing her fucking uterus out, dude. Like, fantastic, yep. Range.
She sang it in, and among other things.
She did. Lita Ford, you want to talk about one of the hottest chicks in the fucking 80s,
oh,
right?
Oh, God. Stupid. Oh, yeah.
Kiss Me Deadly. Like, who doesn't watch that video and just, you know, a 13-year-old kid or whatever, just...
God's honest truth, I think I had a wet dream about her in seventh grade, and I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
I saw her open up for Def Leppard around 2011 or 12. She still fucking looks fantastic. And by the way, Joan Jett still looks great, too.
Oh, hell like yeah.
75
she's just
years
badass.
Old,
she's just a dude. She's so a dude. Badass. She's a chick I'd like to just friggin' have a shot with.
Dude, she was the originator, right? Like, she was the first female solo that went into hard rock and kind of just, you know, made a name for herself.
So I feel like she wanted to be punk and then was like, I don't know, man. I think I'm just better at this. Because, like, bad reputation, agreed. Everything hit really so. But
absolutely.
Like, but she could blend easily too, and then, like, you know, let's put the, well, what was it, the Fuck, what is it? It's a song. I can't remember. Fuck, there's so many ones. I know the I Love Rock and Roll is one of my favorite songs by her.
Yes.
But what was the Lita Ford song where... Heaven is in the palm of my hand and it's waiting here for you with Ozzy.
Close your eyes forever with Ozzy.
Oh, right, right, right. Oh, yeah, that's the next lyric.
Close your eyes for me.
So, Joan Jett, what the hell's the song? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I hit the wrong fucking
window. I cannot remember to say
that. That was the right button.
Fuck off. Joan Jett. She had a bunch of hits. Let me pull them up here because I can't remember them. Bad Reputation, we already talked about. I Love Rock and Roll.
Favorite song.
I Hate Myself for Loving You.
That's the one. I hate myself for loving you.
Which Sunday Night Football. Which Sunday Night Football ripped off and used it for the song for the last fucking.
Oh, yeah, that's what NBC has.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Sunday Night Football on NBC. Like, what a dick.
Right, exactly.
Do they at least credit her or anything? Like,
I don't think so. I think they had Pink sing it one year, which is fucked up. But, yeah.
I thought it was Faith Hill for the most. I don't know. It's fine.
Wasn't it Carrie Underwood?
Carrie Underwood. Carrie, that's what I meant. I meant that.
Yeah. She's been waiting all day for Sunday night.
Waiting all day to. Yeah. She's hot.
She's the best.
Anyway, so look. Lots of one-hit wonders when it comes to bands like that. Like Steelheart, you mentioned, was another one that had like one or two good songs, possibly.
Who were they? Who were they?
Steelheart? All right. I'll pull it up.
You ever see the movie Rockstar?
Yes.
No.
No.
That's basically that's all Steelheart in that song or in that movie.
Maybe
it's a bunch of bands, but the headline songs in that are Steelheart.
They're from
like and then you guys, Never you guys before- like Never Let You Go. If you put on Never Let You Go or
Never gonna give one. You up. Never gonna let you down.
I didn't know they were from Connecticut. From Norwalk.
Rick Astley is from Connecticut.
You know, Angel Eyes.
Angel
Eyes. You have Angel Eyes.
I'll never
such
let you
a smile.
I'll never let you go.
Lights up.
I don't know this.
And I'll never let you.
Yeah, that one.
This is literally gonna be the worst show ever. It's just us singing lyrics until the other guy gets it, even if the other guy doesn't get it. Come on, you know.
Angel Eyes.
Right? No, I don't know.
Angel Eyes. That's the one hit they had, by the way. That is the only hit that they ever had.
But what was you Great White you mentioned before.
Great White. Once Bitten, Twice Shy. That's the only fucking song I know. Yeah,
that's I know.
Literally. But, I don't know what else they do.
Yeah. Well, so what is there? What's the song list then, Rob? When you're stop drinking your whipped cream and
goddamn, don't you have a computer in front of you?
Mm-hmm. I'm using it to be on this show.
Great White, they've been around for fucking forever. I think
they haven't though, have they?
Oh god, yeah, way way old. Nope, that's not. I don't look up sharks. Band, there we go. Great White, let's pull up their Wikipedia. I think one of their albums was like Once Bitten, and the fucking next one was Twice Shy, and then they sang the song Once Bitten, Twice Shy on that album. Fucking weird.
I think, yeah, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense, but I think I remember that is what I meant to say.
Jack Russell was their lead singer. 84. They came out in 84. They had Great White, their self-titled album in 84, Shot in the Dark in 86, Once Bitten in 87, Twice Shy in 89.
There's got to be another song we know by them. Come on.
Let's see. I'm looking up. The Angel song. That's highlighted. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Typing in Great White popular songs.
House of Broken Love. Sounds like my house.
No, I don't know any of them. Don't know any of them.
Save Your Love.
Yeah,
save all your love. Save your love for me.
That song. Save your love. I just can't save your
or
love.
Or Rock Me. You save probably like Rock love. Me. Rock Me.
Oh, I do know that song.
Let's Shake Me. Sorry.
I was doing Shake Your Love, actually, from Debbie Gibson. Save your love. I just can't save your love. Save your love. I just can't save your love.
That is hilarious. How about Tesla? That's another band that everyone loves, but can't remember any fucking song other than Signs.
That and Dio is the same one, I feel like.
Right. Tesla, Modern Day Cowboy is my favorite Tesla song.
How's it go, Johnny?
It's a showdown in a no man's land for a cowboy. of a modern day. That's my favorite Tesla song.
Do you become like a 50s yeah. wise guy flipping a coin and smoking a cigar when you sing like that?
And I like love song. I told you, I got neighbors within like 10 feet of me, and I don't want to sing outside in the dark.
I do remember making my level I would have to hit the
keys. Easy come, easy go. I kind of remember that one. Let's see.
So with what about Dio? The only one I know is Holy Diver. Really, Holy
that's all Diver. You need to know. That's how amazing. This is
the best freaking song
ever.
There's a lot of Dio fans.
I don't know the word.
I never got into Dio. I just
there isn't. It's Holy Diver. That's it. There is no getting into.
There's a couple goodies.
Like I was into Extreme. Like I said, I know their first and Porno Graffiti. I don't know the Three Sides to Every Story too well. But because I kind of they got a little hippie, but then I didn't like that they ripped off Voodoo Child. So that,
yeah, that's true. Not... All right, what about Dokken?
Oh yeah,
good band.
Alone Again, underrated massively, and Breaking the Chains, obviously a really good one. I think a little too mellow for the period they were in to really be a huge like front runner. You know, but song, I appreciate their music the same way I appreciate Dream Theater.
I think In My Dreams is another one that just hit, even though it's only
it's still the same
at first, and it's just like it blasts you right from the get go. In my dreams, I don't know any other fucking song.
Oh, they did the Nightmare on Elm Street. Song Dream Warriors. Oh,
the Dream Warriors. We're the Dream Warriors.
Yeah.
Don't want to dream no more.
God damn it, I did it again.
Six and really Johnny, where can we find you? At Straight Up Five.
I really got to stop hitting the back button on this fucking browser.
That's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
We can dodge a wrench. You can dodge a ball.
Next time we do a show, we'll have a structure. I promise. But yeah,
don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
Don't put that shit on me, Bobby. No, I like bullshitting with you guys, and I think we end up.
Yeah, it makes sucky shows, but that's all right. I mean, I guess.
Well, who doesn't want to hear us sing? Like we should.
Nobody
do a karaoke show at one point.
No,
I can.
I would do a live performance for you if you wanted. Like on one of our future shows, I'll get in the right room.
Hell yeah. I'll feed the music through the Roadcaster, and we'll have a.
I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying no. It's a bad idea.
Hey, you and Vince Russo would sing Kiss songs together. That was great shit
on YouTube with 60,000-70,000 subscribers. We have four people watching or listening. And
well, I think we should. I think you should let me sing that. I have a beautiful voice.
You do have. I want to hear you sing Sinatra.
It's the voice. It's the voice of an angel. It's like yeah.
Can you sing? This is the tree falling in the woods thing. Like if you have a voice of an angel and no one hears it. Does it happen?
I
no.
sing everywhere. I've sung my entire life. It's
I believe
that's what
you.
I'm known
it's,
for.
I believe
you. Woozy, a freak.
He's Italian. He could sing.
We don't have an audience to listen.
Well,
that's the
those
issue.
Four friends that are listening will tell their friends that's to right. come listen to and, me and sing.
But they already know you sing, so they're like, ah, it's just JP doing what he does. So.
Johnny, yeah, can you sing Sinatra?
Yes.
All right. I want to hear you croon. That's what I want to hear.
Yeah. It's about the easiest person to sing like, I think.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh, Joe, what's your Twitter handle?
I don't know.
Johnny, what's yours?
@JPJR07.
I don't bother giving it Ochos anymore because he's not even on Twitter. He might retweet one fucking thing that I put out. And
I tweeted last night, actually.
Did you really? What'd you tweet? I gotta look it up.
Oh, no, I didn't. Never mind. Some punk did. He said we should be doing bromance tonight and tagged me and Vince, and Vince was like, nah, it's too late.
Nah, sorry, bro.
Attaboy, Looper!
At the DR Ocho on Twitter. I am at Rad Rob Gaming on Twitter and Instagram. You can follow the show on Twitter at Rad Turtles. Not God, that's my old one.
Oh my God.
At RTW Brand. We're no longer Turtles or Rad. Well, I mean, I'm Rad, but there's no Turtles. No. Long story, Johnny. In any event.
Got it.
We'll be back next week. I don't know what the fuck we're doing next week, but we'll figure it out. Thanks for listening to the show. We'll see you next week for another edition of RTW Rewind. Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of RTW Rewind. For all the latest news and announcements, please follow us on Twitter at RTW Brand. You can also follow Rad Rob at Rad Rob Gaming. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on the Rad Rob Radio Network.